chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4, let me just read verse 3 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Let's just seek the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for His help as we come to the preaching of God's word this morning. Our Father and our God, we pray, O God, that You'll anoint preacher and hearer alike. We pray, O God, that Thy power will descend upon us, we pray. Shut us in with God, shut out the devil, and shut out, Lord, all that is not of Thee. Lord, for this time now we ask, we'll be taken up with Thee in Thy precious word. Give us help to preach and help to hear. We pray this in Thy name and for Thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. One of the fiercest enemies of the New Testament church was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. A man who was the best of breed as far as the Jews were concerned. He was more Jewish than the Jews. He knew the Scriptures inside out, yet he could not see the truth of the Scriptures. And so he hated the preaching of the apostles and their focus on Christ. This riled Saul each time he heard the gospel being preached, and so at every attempt he sought to hinder it and sought to stop it. He had already masterminded the death of Stephen, and his next project on this program of persecution was to stop the gospel being preached in Damascus. And so, equipped with the authority of the high priest, he set off for that city on the next installment of his hate campaign. But suddenly, as we all know, a light shone from heaven. He fell to the ground, he heard a voice, recognizing it to be the Lord, and in that instant this persecutor was gloriously and wonderfully saved. And it was on that road to Damascus that he met the Savior face to face. But it was also there that he began his life of service for the Lord. No longer is he working for the devil, but now he is serving the Lord. And he realized the importance of service when he asked that question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He immediately became aware that God had saved him in order that he might serve the Lord. There was a work for him to do. And of course, the great task that lay before Saul, who then became Paul, was to bring the same gospel message to the Gentile people, to become one of the greatest missionaries and to heed the great call and the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to reach out into different towns and villages with the gospel and to tell the world dying, perishing in their sin of Jesus, the mighty to save. And as you read through the writings of Paul and his letters to the churches, you cannot fail to notice how intensely evangelistic this man was. He had a heart for God, but he also had a heart for the people. He had a heart for evangelism, and he realized that God had ordained his own redeemed people to further his kingdom on earth. God had not called holy angels to evangelize, but God had called his own people to be the instruments of reaching souls for the Savior. And as we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find Paul defending his ministry of evangelism. He's defending it against those who were saying that his ministry was ineffectual, because not everybody was being saved. Paul answers the accusers by showing that the problem did not lie with the message, it lay with those who heard the message. The problem is that those that he sought to reach out to were spiritually blind. They could not see the gospel, they could not see Christ. Yet Paul continued to preach, Paul continued to evangelize. And while this is, first and foremost, a defense of his ministry of evangelism, I want us this morning to take a different, slightly different slant on these verses and consider them not merely as being Paul's defense of his ministry, but rather in giving us some practical lessons in the matter of evangelism. As we approach our gospel mission, we are reminded again of the need for evangelism, the need to reach out. And in these verses, there are some very simple, basic, yet fundamental truths that we need to be reminded of in the matter of evangelizing, because we, his people, are all commanded to be his instruments in bringing that same gospel to our day. The first thing I want you to see here is the truth to be proclaimed. The truth to be proclaimed. What is the message of the soul winner? What is the message for the evangelist, for the Christian who has that burden and that heart for souls? It is the gospel. Verse 3, if our gospel. Now I know that seems so very basic, yet this is the truth that we are to proclaim. We have no other truth, and we dare preach no other message but the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, let the word of God answer it. As we read over in 1 Corinthians 15, it's that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. You see, the gospel of necessity and of substance brings us to the cross and takes us to the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the message this world needs to hear. Because you see, folks, a gospel which omits the cross is not the gospel. A gospel which omits the blood of Jesus Christ is not the gospel. A gospel which denies the atoning work of the cross as the only hope for man is not the gospel. Gospel is this good news that Christ died for sinners and that he lives again. No other gospel will be of any effect. No other message will bring a man or woman, a young person, to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ but the cross work of Christ. And this gospel is a truth. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ came into the world to save sinners. In Galatians 2 and verse 14, we read of the truth of the gospel. It's a truth because it's not the imaginations of man. It's a truth because it's not the ideas of man. It's a truth because it is the word of God. Person of the gospel, notice it's a man-centered message. Message centered on the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's not centered on any man, but the man, the God-man. It's focused on his death and his resurrection. It's focused on Christ upon the cross where he took our sin. He bore our punishment. He gave his life. He shed his blood. He died that we might live. And you see, folks, we need to emphasize again and again that this message is all about Christ. In all of his evangelistic efforts, Paul continually pointed people to Christ. He said, "We preach Christ crucified." Oh yes, the Jews, they wanted a sign. The Greeks, they sought after wisdom, but none of those things could save. It was only the truth centered on the person of Christ that can take a sinner out of his sin. And right throughout his missionary endeavors, Paul preached about Christ, and Paul pointed men to Christ. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians, and the verse 4, chapter 4 rather, we preach not ourselves. Notice that. We preach not ourselves. So much ministry today is all focused on man. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the message that Paul preached. He didn't speak about the philosophies of man. He didn't speak about the rampant political theories of his day. He didn't speak about the social remedies. He spoke of Christ. Christ is the answer. Has been the answer. Will always be the answer to man's greatest need. And what an example for the believer today. You know, people will talk to you about everything. And people will talk to you about anything. But we must speak to them about Christ. On the doorsteps, in conversation, oh, they'll debate about evolution. And they'll ask those questions you've been faced with, I'm sure. Well, if God is a God of love, and why do all these things happen? They'll want to take you away from everything but Christ. But in our conversation, as we seek to evangelize, we must continually bring them back to Christ. As you witness for Christ, you'll come across some of the greatest and silliest ideas of man. And people will ask many grand questions. We don't have the answers and we feel foolish. But don't be put off. You keep bringing them back to Christ. Keep telling them of Jesus Christ who came into this world to save their lost souls. I would encourage you not to get into heated arguments on the doors with people during the course of evangelism. You're not there to win arguments. You're there to win their souls for Christ. Keep bringing them back to the cross. Keep bringing them back to Christ. Person of the gospel, the power of the gospel. Why? Why did Paul continually and solely speak of Christ? Because he knew there was a power in the gospel to turn their lives around. Paul knew there was a power in the gospel that could never be found in the remedies of this world. And this power brings us again to the cross. It brings us to the blood of Christ. It brings us to that great atoning work of our Lord and Savior on the cross. There is power in the blood of the Lamb to cleanse and to keep on cleansing from sin. Praise God today that the blood has lost none of its power. It's still as powerful today as it's ever been. And that's the great message that we have to proclaim today. All society will try every effort to try to reform the down and out, to try to reform those who are at the wit's end corner, but it's only the gospel and the power of that gospel can change and transform their lives. What a wonderful message we have to proclaim. And Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There is power in the gospel today. And as I keep saying, folks, don't believe the lie of the devil that the Lord has lost his power, that the gospel has lost its power. It hasn't. It's still powerful today. It can still reach into souls and save them. In 1833, Charles Darwin visited the South Sea Islands. And there he found nothing but cannibals and savagery. 33 years later, he visited those same islands. But he found a change this time. Oh, he went with his false and foolish theories. But he found a change in the lives of the people there in the South Sea Islands. Why was there this change? It was because a man, a missionary by the name of John Patton, went to the South Sea Islands to evangelize and to preach the gospel, and lives were changed and lives were transformed as a result. And folks, that's the great encouragement as we seek to evangelize, that the gospel still changes lives. If you're here without Christ today, if you're here still in your sin, you're not saved, it's Christ you need. It's not this church. It's not the thinking or the ideas of man or a minister. It's Christ. Only Christ. Then there is the possession of this gospel. Because in verse number 3, he talks about our gospel. You see, this was something he personally possessed. It belonged to him as it does to every believer. Oh, this wasn't some remote ideology or something that would have no effect on his life. This was something personal. This was something powerful in his life. Paul experienced that change on the Damascus Road. Paul could say, this is our gospel, this is my gospel. This Christ of whom I preach is mine today. And that's the glorious message today, that this gospel, this Christ, can be yours today as well. This is not some aloof idea of man. This is a reality that can burn deep down into your heart. You can belong to Christ. Those people that we seek to go out and reach and invite into this gospel mission, the reality is that what Christ has done in our hearts, Christ can do for them as well. The truth to be proclaimed is the gospel. But I want you to notice further with me here the tragedy to be prevented. The tragedy to be prevented. In verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. You see, there's a tragedy today. We have this gospel. We have this message that can change lives, that can change families, that can change communities, and yet the tragedy to be prevented is that it is hid. It most certainly is true that the gospel is hid because, as we shall see shortly, sinners cannot, in their blinded condition because of sin, see it. But yet in another sense, thinking particularly of our theme of reaching out and being evangelistic, it's a tragedy that our gospel is so hidden in our own lives that others don't see it. They can't see the change that Christ has made in our hearts. As far as the world looking upon us, they see no difference. It can be hidden by our lives. On over in the next chapter, chapter 5, there's that well-known verse, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're new creatures in Christ. We're changed, and therefore that change should be seen. If you get something new, it's noticeable. The old thing is not there. It's replaced by that which is new. And so it is with the believer. We have this new life in Jesus Christ. It must be seen. Matthew talks about not letting our light hide under a bushel. Letting it be seen. The command is to let your lights shine. Let others see that you belong to Christ. Christian, today, don't be ashamed to stand up for the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's often been said that men may never read a Bible, but they will read the life of the Christian. And we are to be living, walking epistles for God. People ought to see Christ within us, in our manner of conversation, in our conduct. We are to be signposts pointing others to the Savior. Does my life show for the Lord? Do my actions, or indeed my reactions, suggest that there is something about my life that is different? Are we being evangelists by the manner of our lives, by the conduct of our lives? The gospel can be hidden by our lives, but also it can be hidden by our lips. Not only is there the tragedy of the hidden gospel in the life of the child of God, but also the tragedy of the hidden gospel from our lips, our failure to speak for the Savior. Oh yes, we can speak about many things. We can wax lyrical about many different issues. But what about Christ? What about telling people that we meet day and daily of their need to be saved? Here's a prime opportunity in this gospel mission that's coming up to bring the conversation around to us, having these meetings in the church and asking the question, sure, why don't you come? Did you ever think about the things of God? Have you ever been to a gospel mission? Telling them their lips about Christ. Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a spokesman for his home country in a foreign land. Christian, this world is not our home. Our home, our eternal home, is in heaven. And we are to be spokesmen and women for Christ in this foreign land. We are to speak of Christ. We are to tell others of Christ. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ. His speech was taken up with Christ. And as he spoke to people on an individual basis, as he spoke to people in congregations and gatherings, he spoke to them of Christ. He pointed them to the Savior. Oh, may our lips tell for Christ in these days that lie before us. By our lives and by our lips, may we all be pointers to the Savior. Let's not hide our gospel. Let's not hide the change that Christ has wrought within our hearts. The gospel invitations for the mission will be available next week, God willing. You take a handful of those invitations and you determine in your heart and life, I'm going to reach people for Christ. My neighbors, my friends, those I meet. We need to be active. We need to be busy. Even, as we've said, putting the invitation through the door, that can be used of God. Tell others of Jesus Christ. May our lives shine for Him, and may our lips speak of Him. The truth to be proclaimed, tragedy to be prevented, but notice then, in the final place, the throng to be reached. The very last word of verse number 3, lost. Lost. Sinner in this meeting tonight, today without Christ, you're lost. You're lost. You're on your way to a lost sinner's hell. And you need to turn away from your sin. You need to turn round and you need to get to Christ. But that description of the sinner, it ought to send a shiver down the spine of every child of God. Those people that we met this week, those people that we spoke to this week, they're lost. Lost. They're dying, perishing in their sin, and they're lost. A soul to be lost is a terrible thing. And yet we have the message that they need to hear. Notice the condition of the lost, they're blinded. In verse number 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Yes, it's true that the spiritual man receiveth not the things of God. Their foolishness to him, they are spiritually discerned. But we have the message that will open their blinded eyes. It's not only their condition in verse number 4, but notice also their control. In whom the God of this world hath blinded. Satan is exercising a control on the lost, keeping them lost, actively keeping them blinded in their sin. But folks, the power of the gospel can break the chains that bind sinners to their sin. There's the cure in verse 4. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that's the cure. That's the remedy. You notice how we've come back full circle. We started with the gospel, and we're coming back again to the gospel. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's not about trying to do better. It's the gospel. It's Christ as he's revealed in the gospel, and nothing else, and nothing more. People will tell us today, we need to change the message. Well, this preacher, for one, is not changing any message. Because there is no other message but Christ. There is no other message but the gospel. These people are lost. Sinners are lost, and do we have a vision? Do we care? Do we have a burden? Archibald Brown, who was a successor to Mr. Spurgeon, in his application to Bible College, one of the questions was, what is your motive for wishing to become a preacher of the gospel? And you know what Archie Brown said in relation to that answer? What is your motive for wishing to become a preacher of the gospel? He said it is to be the means of saving souls. Means of saving souls. May that purpose always be our aim and our desire. That was the aim of the founding fathers of this denomination. That has always been the driving and motivating factor of the free church, and may we never lose that zeal, that reaching out, that evangelistic desire to see others won for Christ. Mr. Spurgeon himself said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. Let's be signposts to Christ, but let's also be hindrances in the way of sinners in stopping them and going to hell, and do what we can to reach them. Murray McShane, who saw a great work done for God in the city of Dundee, he talked about hearing the tramp, tramp, tramp of sinners on their way to a lost sinner's hell. May we hear that tramp, tramp, tramp of sinners going to a lost eternity. And let's go and reach them. Let's go and tell them of Jesus Christ. Give us a vision for souls. Give us a burden for souls. Let's do what we can to reach them for Christ. And in our gospel mission, this is a perfect opportunity for us all to do what we can to reach others with the gospel. We all have a part to play. We all need to be busy. So let's, as a united body of believers, arise and mobilize our abilities together and see souls being brought in and souls being won for Jesus Christ. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that today You will give us that burden. You'll give us that greater desire to reach out to the lost. Oh God, we pray for any in this meeting today who are strangers still to grace and mercy. We pray, oh God, that the gospel light will shine into their hearts. Oh God, we pray that You'll open their blinded eyes and bring them to Christ. Lord, help us, each one of us, as the people of God, to be busy and to be active, to be about the Master's business, seeking to do what we can to bring others to the Savior. Bless Thy word, we pray, write it upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, we ask all of these things. Amen.